I'm Don.
And I'm Kate.
And welcome to Because Reasons,
a multimedia redemption podcast
where we take your beloved guilty pleasures in movies, books, and more
and decide whether or not
they're worthless trash.
Welcome back to Because Reasons. I'm Kate.
And I'm Don. And I am here today in disguise.
You're in disguise?
You can't see me, actually. I mean, so I'm not actually Don. So I've got these glasses. Well, I don't have glasses on. So what I don't actually have glasses. So I know that you had, like, a difficult time seeing me today. Because I'm actually... my name is Brian.
What?
My name is actually Brian, and I have this fake mustache on and this gray beard, and I'm not wearing glasses.
Oh, so, you parted your hair on the other side.
And I did. So, I mean, I'm actually Brian. It's very nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you, too, but I miss Don. Where did he go?
Well, you'll never know, because I'm definitely not in disguise right now. Not in, like, a poorly glued-on disguise. What I'm saying is I'm a bad 90s movie.
Oh. Sad.
Because today we are talking about The Saint.
The classic Val Kilmer role of The Saint.
So this movie was submitted by our very own Catherine. Here, co-host on Because Reasons.
And I'm already getting judgment for it.
Well, I mean, I have not seen this movie yet. We're recording a little bit before we sit down to watch this film. So I guess I'd like to know, what is it about this movie that you feel is so redeemable when so many people have pretty much decided that this is a paragon of how awful 90s movies could be?
Oh, I hate that that's sort of the rap this movie has gotten. I'm going to start with the caveat of, I don't think this is amazing on the level that Citizen Kane would be, or, you know, a really established classic.
I like that we've gone from really, from cheesy 90s spy movie to a paragon of cinema, Citizen Kane.
What I'm saying is,
I don't think you're allowed to speak any... I don't think there is a Val Kilmer movie made.
Don't Kilmer the mood.
Oh, sweet God. No, no puns.
I love the puns.
Oh, God.
You know you love it.
I don't think that there is a Val Kilmer movie made that gets to be in the same breath as Citizen Kane.
Have you seen them, Val?
Work. No, that didn't work. No.
Trying, listeners.
You have to put a dollar into the bad pun jar.
No.
That's $2 now.
Oh, I'm going to have
seven
no
more
money.
And we could get a small drink at Starbucks. This episode is not brought to you by Starbucks, but hey, Starbucks, if you'd like to send us some of that Starbucks money, we will talk about your show all of the time.
We will give you all the press.
All of the press.
And all of it will be good.
All good. Even if it's terrible swill, we will talk all of the good things. So, no, okay, so this is Because Reasons. I'd like to know what Because Reasons you have for thinking The Saint is a redeemable film.
I think it's redeemable in the way that bad Arnold Schwarzenegger movies are redeemable, the way terrible Stallone movies are redeemable. I mean, this is...
So it's so bad it's good? Because we've established...
No, it's not so bad. It's actually good. But it's... I mean, it's good in the way that, you know, fun 90s action adventure movies are good. It's upbeat. It's something that you'd put on because you want to, you know, cheer yourself up or just watch something kind of enjoyable. You don't want
That's
something...
what I normally do. When I want to go cheer myself up, I go and I watch a 90s spy film with, like... a D-list celebrity of the
celebrity.
Time.
What?
In the 90s? You've listed now two other action stars who would be A and then B grade in the 90s. And if those two are A and
Val
B grade...
Val Kilmer is not D grade.
Really? Really?
He was
Val
in
Kilmer?
Top Gun. He was Batman.
Okay, so he was a side character in Top Gun.
He was the lead in Batman.
That should not Really? You're using that as a defense right now?
That movie was way better than Joel Schumacher's second Batman attempt.
Oh, sweet mother of God. Okay, no, okay, so you like it because you think it is an uplifting film of the human spirit.
It's fun, it's up-tempo, the characters are enjoyable, the plot is really fun. I think it's just a really nicely done action-adventure movie. It's not trying to make you think too hard. And action movies are trying to. They're just to sort of pump you up.
So I sort of, okay. So I mean, I get, you know, more of a lighthearted action movie. Like as opposed to something like The Dark Knight.
Yes.
You know, the Christopher Nolan route of action movie. More like maybe an Indiana Jones.
Yes.
Where it mixes that sort of comedy, action, you know, lighthearted family adventure kind of thing from the late 80s.
It's something that you could watch with your family.
Okay, I mean, if it goes that route, if it goes that route, then I see some redemption there. You know, it's still action-y, it still gives you all the plot points, but the comedy is there.
Plus, it has disguises. How is that not a redeemable quality when the main character is in several disguises?
I do not think that disguises are an inherently positive quality. Are these, like, amazing disguises?
These are amazing disguises.
Have you met my friend Brian here?
Neither you nor Brian will know that it's Val Kilmer in some of these roles.
Okay, so listeners.
Seamless.
We are going to go and watch The Saint. This will be my first time watching The Saint. I have never watched it all the way through before. I have seen snippets. I was never paying attention. Because really. So we are going to go and we're going to sit and we are going to watch The Saint. And I am going to be looking for lighthearted, comedic action with high-quality disguise
wonderful
stuff.
Disguises.
So wonderful, high-quality, believable disguises that are really going to set this film apart from other action movies and give it redemption. Yes?
Man, all of this bitterness just wafting off of you before even watching it. I mean,
it's a Val Kilmer movie, so I'm inherently distrustful.
What? Saint it ain't so.
Oh, God. I guess we have to leave you with a pun. So we'll see you after the movie, folks.
A man without a name can never be identified.
We've got a handful of false identities used on visas, passports.
My name is Bruno Hartenfaust.
I'm Ivanovich.
I'm Tony.
A man who doesn't exist can never be caught.
I've been chasing him for nearly 2 years. He eluded a hit squad this morning in Holland Park.
A man who doesn't love can never truly be alive.
This woman has discovered something that will revolutionize the world.
It's a formula for creating energy.
You will steal it for me.
How did you do that?
Magic. When we master this technology, then we dictate terms to the West.
Give it up! You got no place to go!
I escaped. I always escape.
Paramount Pictures presents
Nicholas Owen, Louis Guinella, Peter Damian.
All the names of Catholic saints.
A story about betrayal.
You've got to get away from me.
I'm not going anywhere until you tell me why you lied to me.
You don't know what you're dealing with here.
Redemption.
I can't trust anybody. I never have.
And destiny.
Kill him.
And bring her to life.
Emma! If you want to live, you have to leave my side.
From the director of Clear and Present Danger and Patriot Games.
The army must be mobilized.
The balance of power is about to shift.
Val Kilmer.
Tell me you love me.
Elizabeth Shue.
Who are you?
The Saint.
So we're back from watching The Saint. Downstairs. Went downstairs, watched it. It is a long movie. It is almost 2 hours long. And I have to say, Catherine.
Nothing good can come after that.
I see what you're saying. I mean, I'll give credit where credit is due. It has a lot of the same elements as other 90s action-y spy movies. There are the Russians that are cartoonishly evil.
With the fantastic 90s
I'm not
hair.
Even kidding you. I am imagining already that one of them in the milieu of characters is trying to hunt down Moose and Squirrel. Like, So we have it's the 90s, so all Russians are evil mobsters.
Well, it's the 90s.
That are insanely wealthy. It's the 90s, so the bad guys are Russians. Okay. You have a guy who has technology that doesn't exist, or kind of exists, but works really well. Like, that texting, man.
The blowtorch inside of the pocket knife? That was pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
You know you want
something.
A pocket blowtorch.
It's definitely something. Oh, come on. You can go get one of those baking blowtorches.
That'd be way too clumsy for him to carry while on the lamb.
Same thing. So, okay. But no, I see what you're saying as far as it has a lot of familiar 90s action movie tropes.
Yes.
Okay. That being said, I cannot believe in good conscience that you think that this is a good movie, that it's a movie that's not been given its proper due. I think that you enjoy this movie because it is so cartoonishly cliche.
I think you're rushing to judgment here.
Oh, God.
It is a well-done movie. I'm not saying it's
well done
the
as in
greatest
what?
Movie in terms of 90s action adventure movies.
Okay, but okay.
It's got the fun, upbeat tempo of something like True Lies. You know,
so
it's got
we're thinking this movie was,
kind of
what, 97?
I believe so.
1997, okay. So it should have been in the... If it were a good 90s action spy movie, let's think of other 90s action spy movies that are, you know, sort of go down in the annals of film history as good quality cinema. First one that comes to mind is something like Mission Impossible. The first Mission Impossible.
And Val Kilmer, far more watchable than Tom Cruise in the Mission Impossible movies.
So what made Mission Impossible something that I think would possibly be a better film is it was more of an ensemble cast. You're not relying on one person to carry the entire movie whose acting range is not necessarily known to be that elastic. I don't know that Val Kilmer ever has you know, been called one of the great actors of our time.
Well, no, but with most action movies from this time period, you don't expect that from your lead action hero.
So
such
you
as
need
Stallone,
more to
Schwarzenegger,
it. So,
I mean, Van Damme,
okay, but you
come on.
Okay, but here's the thing. You keep saying Stallone and Schwarzenegger, but those are action movies. This was not an action movie.
It had car chases,
two.
Chased through
it
the
had,
sewers.
It had two
it has
car chases.
Things blowing up. It has cold
It had
fusion.
One car that blew up. Okay, so it had one car blow up.
It also had the explosion at the vault.
And it had two mini chase scenes. The rest of it is we are supposed to think it's more of a spy movie, which would lend itself to being more like Mission Impossible. Because at first I thought, okay, so this is supposed to be a little bit funny, action-y, you know, that kind of thing. Like we had said, something like an Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
An enjoyable, lighthearted, you know, take your family and enjoy, you know, a little bloody, but it's an enjoyable film. Except for when they added Sean Connery. I mean, well, arguably. Anyways, so
if you start bad-mouthing Sean Connery...
Well, which Sean Connery?
Any of them.
We can have a Sean Connery episode, let's just say. Because there's good Sean Connery, and then there's...
Awesome Sean Connery.
No. 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 Okay, so... But to be I mean, I don't think that it's fair to compare this to something like an Indiana Jones. I don't think that it is, I don't think it is an action movie. I think it would be more in the spy thriller genre if it's in anything. And then you have to compare it to things like True Lies. You have to compare it to things like Mission Impossible, other 90s spy thriller movies.
And I think it holds up pretty well.
I don't think so.
The bad guys are incredibly entertaining.
No, the bad guys are a cliche.
No, they're entertaining
because they are cartoonishly bad at their job.
No, they...
So you've got him pinned down. You have him with... you've got one of these characters with a gun to Val Kilmer's head. And then he doesn't kill him. Like, I mean, I get it. If you kill the good guy, then the movie's over and all of that. But the way that they get separated is just so badly done. Like, it's just, there is...
He's creating a distraction so she can run to the U.S. Embassy.
So here's the thing. I do not think it fits into an action movie genre because action movies have a kind of pace. You know, you're edge of your seat, things are happening, you know, characters are moving, plot is developing for what it is. I mean, you know,
all right. Butt is being kicked. I will concede in this point and say maybe it would belong more in the spy genre.
Okay, so
more
then...
More similar to perhaps True Lies or a James Bond type of...
No, you do not get to say the words James Bond and The Saint in the same sentence.
The Saint is better than some of the James Bonds.
Here's the thing. James Bond... films notoriously are quite long, but things happen. I mean, there is a
things
pace
happen in this movie
to a James Bond film. There are lots of characters.
He sleeps with a woman.
Sure,
insults people.
Fine,
kills somebody. Sleeps
with
another woman.
Absolutely, all of these things happen. But the thing is, there is a pace and a movement and a timing to the film that makes it enjoyable. It's you're taken on this epic spy thriller adventure. And that's why James Bond films have been around for, you know, multiple decades, 50 years or so, right? And this was a one-time thing that didn't get a sequel.
I think it was a TV show at one point.
Oh, yeah, well, I can...
Wasn't Roger Moore?
I have no idea.
I think he played the Saint in a TV show.
Roger Moore, also the worst James Bond,
yes.
So...
So unlikable as James Bond.
Makes sense that he would take over this role. Oh, can't get Kilmer on this one? Back when Val Kilmer thought he was going to have a career.
Val Kilmer had a great career.
For like 3 movies.
He's made enough money to just sit back on his heels for
and
a while.
And he has been sitting back on those heels for quite a while. The guy looks like the dude.
You know, when you've made as much money
from
as
the
him,
Big Lebowski.
Then you can talk.
You're right. You're right.
He has earned his chance to sit back.
He has earned those donuts that he enjoys so much.
Are you kidding? He's wealthy. They're profiteroles.
Oh my god. So, but then if it's a spy movie, it is far too long for what little story is in this film. So, it's a movie about... a guy who the first, 15 minutes of this film established this backstory, that is far more interesting than anything else that happens in the rest of the movie. That is the most interesting part about the entire thing.
Repressive Catholic school, we've seen it before.
Okay, you've seen everything in this movie before. You get cartoonishly bad Russians, you get a guy with a pocket knife, that does everything. I mean, he's got the sonic screwdriver, basically. He's got a low-tech sonic screwdriver. You open up, I open up my pocket knife, and it becomes things. It's a key. It cools the room down so that I can walk through a laser grid. It's a blowtorch.
Kind of cool.
I mean, he's got the sonic screwdriver. I swear to God.
Everybody needs to have a bat belt.
The BBC should sue for for the infringement. So, you've got a guy who, and the other thing is, that origin story bears no weight on the rest of the film at all. None of those characters recur.
It creates his impetus for why he becomes his character.
It never comes back around. There's a girl that dies just for fun. I mean, hey, let's kill a small child by dogs and evil priests for fun. The priest never gets justice. Nobody,
you don't know that.
Those orphans, that's the problem. Nobody does. They start a story.
No, they're just giving you the background on him.
But they start
it's
a story.
Fact that he starts off as this orphan child who doesn't have an identity. They give him a name. They try to drill this into his head. And he's not sure who he is. So he becomes this spy who's constantly changing.
You are leaving out giant chunks of that first 15 minutes. No. Let's be fair here. So you have this like evil priest guy who has this cadre of orphans, and he starves them and beats them, and there's this insanely like well thought out creation story for the saint, for this guy who becomes this thief spy called the saint.
Right.
And none of that is fleshed out. Like, that could have been the rest of the movie. I mean, it could have been him. There are so many dull portions of this movie where
most of which involve the lead romantic interest.
Nothing happens. I mean, there's a little chase scene, and then for 20 more minutes, we're just sitting in a hotel room lamenting about how...
No, you're bourgeois. Following him as a character.
No, there is no character development whatsoever.
What?
There is no character development in this movie.
That's the point of the movie.
That there is no character development?
No, he starts off as this self-absorbed, isn't sure who he is kind of person, and through discovering what it means
exactly
to be a good person, he becomes a more solidified identity. The money doesn't define him at the end.
Oh, that is not true.
It does. He gives it away.
No, he does other things with the money. He does other things with other people's money. It's implied at the end of the movie that he took the bad guy's money and paid for. All of that money that he made is still his. He is still a multi-millionaire off of his thievery.
Well, technically he earned it. I mean...
By stealing!
From bad people.
Okay,
like Robin Hood.
So character-wise, you have Elizabeth Shue.
Who's awful. She is the worst part of this movie.
Here's the funny thing about
this. And I blame
this.
Her for this movie not getting more recognition.
Here's the funny thing. All the critics that gave this a positive review hail her as a shining light in this movie. And I have to say, I don't know what your problem with Elizabeth Shue is. She's actually fairly decent in this movie.
I don't hate her as a person. I hate her in this movie.
This is the only movie you've ever seen
of
Elizabeth Shue.
I think she saw the script. She read the script and went, oh, the character I play has a heart condition. So clearly I have to make her pant all the time and speak in this weird breathy voice like... I was just walking down the street.
So
let me explain this.
Out of the two lead actors in this movie, you are admitting that one of them does a very awful job.
No.
Which means 50% of the lead acting time in this movie is bad. So we're already starting from a place where you're admitting.
I don't know that I would say
half
that
of
there
the lead
are
roles are
two
terrible.
Lead roles. There are, I would say, three main roles. There's Val Kilmer.
Okay.
Elizabeth Shue. I mean, she's trying, but it's... Ugh. She's just every bad thing about 90s love interests.
See, but here's the thing. Here's what you're not recognizing. The bad things about her character...
And the Russians, as, like, the bad guys, specifically Tredyak, are the third main character. You spend a lot of time with them.
Yeah, but here's
They're
what you're
compelling.
Not... Here's what you're... Here's why this is a bad movie. The things that you're seeing as cliche, bad 90s... stereotypes in the character of Elizabeth Shue's character, the things that you're thinking are, oh, this is just a typical 90s trope, are things that you are not admitting are pervasive in the rest of the movie. The Russians, the bad guys, are terribly cliche. There is
you
no development.
You could
say
that about Indiana Jones movies, though, of, oh,
but
it's
here's the
stereotypical Nazis. Oh, it's the bad Russians.
But Indiana Jones was a defining movie that helped to create that genre. It's other people snipe off of, other people steal bits and pieces of what made Indiana Jones films great, including the third and fourth Indiana Jones movies, which were terrible, and try to steal from the goodness of the first two. The third one's okay.
You don't love the third Indiana Jones movie?
It's okay. It's not as good as the first two. It's not as good as the first two.
The third is one of the best of the entire series.
Well, since there's only four, there's not really much in the way of comparison there.
We just can't be friends. I'm sorry, folks. This is the last episode we will be recording.
I do appreciate the Star Wars references in the Indiana Jones film. That's fun. But anyways, so is this becoming like the Indiana Jones podcast?
But no, they have over-the-top characters. True Lies, their main bad guy is the Middle Eastern terrorists. Dull. Stereotypical and dull.
But
the Russians
the
here, they might be slightly stereotypical, but they're compelling characters. The main guy, Tredyak, he's giving these moving speeches about Russia. You see him in the background making these deals and how he's trying to control the way the government is going.
And here's the other thing about
the story itself.
I mean, let's ignore the fact that, okay, so out of the three main characters, one third of it you're saying is awful, right?
She's pretty bad.
Okay, yeah. So if there's three main characters, I'll give you, there's three main characters. So one third of the three people that share the most time on screen are awful.
She doesn't kill the movie, but she's the limpy leg that's just sort of like hobbling along while this movie's
and
trying
thing,
to go.
You wanted me to like this movie based on disguises? Those are the worst.
Say they're the best disguises.
The movie Master of Disguise has better disguises than that. I would rather see, what's his name, go
Dana Carvey.
I would rather see Dana Carvey go turtle.
Val Kilmer's disguises are amazing.
They are awful. It is just Val Kilmer in a wig and Val Kilmer in a mustache. It's Val Kilmer with Val Kilmer with glasses. Val Kilmer with a wig. Though I will say, that long brown-haired wig that he was giving me was full Brad Pitt Legends of the Fall realness, people. I was enjoying...
With the leather pants and the leather jacket.
I am enjoying everything about his little Afrikaans persona. Like, I was loving it. But, no, the other thing about this film is that if it is going to be a spy movie, if it is going to be a spy thriller, A, more needs to happen. But B, there was no twist. Like, there was no secretly the whole time I've been blah, or secretly the whole time it's been yeah. And I get it. I mean, so sure, you could almost say that that's a redeeming quality because it shies away from a standard trope of spy thrillers. But the rest, there wasn't enough to the rest of the movie to merit, you know, taking away, you know, oh, we're all waiting for the twist. We're all waiting for, you know, oh, secretly I was actually working for this other organization the whole time. Or, you know, something like that. I mean, like a Mission Impossible, where especially in that first film, you just do not see those twists coming. You know, and there's one twist and then another and then another. But this is just a sort of a straightforward. And if you're going to do a straightforward movie, like more of a James Bond. So this is a defined good guy, and then here is your defined bad guy organization. Then there needs to be more happening. There needs to be more pace. There needs to be more character development. There needs to be more events. They need to be doing more things, going to more settings. They are just in snowy, sad Russia for the majority of the movie.
It is really sad.
It is
snowy
very
Russia.
Bleak.
It is bleak.
Very bleak. So I have to say, I do not think the reasons are valid for calling this a good movie. I don't even think it's so bad it's cheesy.
I don't think it's bad. I think it's good if you want an just sort of upbeat, fun adventure.
See, oh, God, it's so bleak. Like, it's... Okay, so you have a guy. I don't think it's upbeat. I don't think it's
really?
Upbeat. No, God, no, it's
with
not upbeat.
With the fun music and the fact
what
that he's...
What fun music?
...changing disguises and he's constantly...
It's not even fun disguises!
No, the first one when he first goes to the Russians to steal this chip for whoever he's stealing it from.
I could have seen him more, and I could have seen him do...
He starts off in a Russian guard outfit, and then he's in this weird full body suit that somehow
I could have seen
him
do Mr. Overbite nerdy professor thing. I could have seen him do that more, and then flouncy 90s stereotype gay guy. I could have seen him
he's
do those two.
He's got all of these, like, fun characters, and you see him changing in and out, and the bad guys trying to get away with their plot. It's fun. Fun angle of... ridiculous cold fusion science.
Again, it's ridiculous.
It is really ridiculous.
One third of the main roles are bad.
The fact that the scientist who's really
and the plot
like,
centers the, upon and the plot centers upon a notion that you find ridiculous. So I don't understand what you're finding redeeming about this film.
She's the one pioneering cold fusion, and she goes, "Ah, yes, this is the apparatus," which she might as well say, "This is the thing that makes it do the stuff."
I just don't... And
she's
here's the thing,
awful.
As much as you make fun of this movie, I don't understand why you actually think it's legitimately
I
good.
I love this
so
movie.
So I have to say, you know, if this were a standard episode, I would say, you know what, listener, your reasons are not valid. I would recommend, if you want to go watch a 90s spy thriller, go watch something like A Mission Impossible. I think it does what this movie tries to do, but light years better. I think... it makes up for Tom Cruise's cardboard style of acting with a more fleshed out cast. I think that the additional personalities, while stereotypical now. I mean, you would see them in, you know, they redid that movie sort of, you know, in things like that, that remake of The Italian Job in the early 2000s. And, you know, even today you get something like the Fast and Furious film franchise where it's just sort of more of an ensemble of, oh, I'm the sassy but brassy broad who does all the tomboy things, and I'm the really girly girl who can kick butt. And, you know,
I'd still rather see both of those than Elizabeth Shue in this movie.
There you go. So from the girl who said that she liked the movie,
I do
go
like
watch
the movie.
Go watch Fast and Furious. It is a better film than this.
I will agree to disagree with you.
If you
want something that's just sort of fun to put on in the background while you're maybe cleaning house on a Saturday.
So it's not even good enough to sit and watch. It's good enough to have this background noise.
You can also sit and watch it, but I'm saying if you've seen it before, you just want something upbeat in the background. It's something enjoyable to watch. You can watch it with your family because it's appropriate for kids. There's nothing horribly
There's nothing that
dark
happens in
it.
The movie. There's nothing that happens. Okay, so I
and this is such a breath of fresh air after all of the action movies out there with just these brooding, depressed main characters who are just bitter about life.
I think you're giving me. I don't think you're being genuine right now.
And I
do not
say,
think you're being genuine right now. There
I've
is no way.
I've recently rewatched some of the Roger Moore James Bond movies. And aside from the fantastic villains, I would much rather watch this. Because at least the main character is interesting.
So bad James, like really awful James Bond, or really awful Val Kilmer. Like, I just don't even think,
but people will remember the James Bond, even if it's terrible. And this movie, which really isn't that bad, frequently gets overlooked or shoved to the back of
I think if you want to watch a good 90s original spy film, then go watch Mission Impossible. There's a reason why it made the money it made, and it went down into you know, sort of the or you know, if you want to go a few years later, if you want to watch that sort of mix of disguises and action and all of that, you want to see a movie get it right, the first Charlie's Angels. There's your twist, there's your fun, there's the comedy that you said would be in this movie that is so not there.
There is comedy.
There's disguises.
It's
sexy
disguises.
Fun. It's a lot of fun. If you want to do Mission Impossible, Charlie's Angels, the remake with Cameron Diaz and Lucy Liu and Andrew Barrymore, you know, there are much other, if you want to watch a fun spy movie, if you want to watch an action-filled spy movie, there are other things out there that do it much better than The Saint. I'm thumbs down on this one. Sorry.
I've still got a thumbs up, but I will.
Okay, so next time.
Yes.
Normally we would just sort of read an email and go from there as to what we would be doing next time. But it is a multimedia redemption podcast. So next time we're actually going to be talking about a book. So we're going to be putting these episodes out every 2 weeks. So you've got a couple weeks. It should take you 1/14th of that time to read this book. It is very short. Next time we will be reading The Longest Ride by Nicholas Sparks.
And boy, aren't we thrilled.
I can't wait. I can't wait to talk about this with you because I have already finished the book and you have not quite yet started. I can't wait.
I can't bring myself to do it. I will do it for you.
So listeners, tune in next time.
When we'll take your guilty pleasures and decide whether or not
they're worthless trash.
время года. Об этом забываю. Я утром оживаю. Об этом забываю. Все равно я утром оживаю.